Public health officials are sounding the alarm as McLean County sees more cases of hepatitis A amid a statewide outbreak.
We don't quite have an answer why it's gotten here.
That's Melissa Graven from the Health Department. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Thursday, August 1st. Coming up, what you need to know to start the day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Let's lead off with a troubling rise in the number of hepatitis A cases in McLean County. WGLT's Eric Stock has the story.
McLean County public health officials are turning up the volume on their hepatitis A prevention efforts after several new local cases emerged in the past week amid a statewide outbreak. There have been 146 confirmed cases statewide, including 10 in McLean County. That's the second highest for any downstate county and up from 6 cases just a week ago. McLean County Health Department Communicable Disease Supervisor Melissa Graven says they've tried hard to prevent it from spreading, but it is anyway.
We don't quite have an answer why it's gotten here.
Hepatitis A is a vaccine-preventable infectious liver disease caused by the hepatitis A virus. It is passed easily from one person to another through food, water, drug use, and sex. It can range from a mild illness lasting a few weeks to a severe illness lasting several months.
We're actually seeing with this particular outbreak, if you will, a lot of the cases are being hospitalized. About 60% of cases are being hospitalized because they're having not complications, they're just getting really sick from this.
The Illinois Department of Public Health declared a statewide outbreak in December of 2018. In McLean County, those at highest risk are those who are homeless, use illicit drugs, men who have sex with other men, and those in close contact with somebody who's tested positive.
You or anybody you know is identifies as being a part of that high-risk category, have them go get their vaccine or come see us.
Graven says the state has provided the McLean County Health Department with the vaccine doses that are available for free for those at highest risk of exposure. In light of the new cases, Graven says her department is now working with community contacts to get information out about hepatitis A.
Our role is basically to provide as much education to the community as possible about what hepatitis A is. Not a lot of people are familiar with that. It's not something we see a lot here in Illinois.
For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
And here are some of the other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael is requesting $1.4 million for election-related expenses in her next budget. That's a $400,000 increase from what was spent in the 2016 presidential election. After a year in limbo, the idea of a multi-sport complex in Bloomington Normal is coming back to the front burner. Normal City Manager Pam Reese says she hopes a direction for the potential $50 million facility will become clear within 45 days. And after being called out for supporting tax increases, State Representative Dan Brady says his challenger is not thinking big picture. Brady admits he supported a motor fuel tax hike, but he says he and fellow Republican lawmakers stopped many other tax increases. Find those stories and more at WGLT.org. Illinois farmers have a lot of questions about U.S. trade policy, like when the dispute with China will get resolved or if the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement will pass through Congress. American Farm Bureau economist Veronica Nye spoke with farmers yesterday to provide some answers. She was the featured speaker at the Illinois Farm Bureau Farm Income and Innovations Conference in Normal. I spoke to her about the outlook for exports.
I think the way I'd have to describe it best is muddled. There's a lot of things going in favor of U.S. ag exports. The fundamentals that have always been true about U.S. agriculture are still there. We're still a low-cost producer of most items. We have a strong transportation system, and we're reliable suppliers. Coupled, unfortunately, on the producer side with fairly low commodity prices, but that makes us pretty competitive in a global market. Now, that being said, the policy side has become more challenging over the last couple of years. I think the discussion on trade has changed. I don't know if that's forever change or just short term, but certainly the situation we find ourselves in with China casts a lot of shadows onto U.S. ag exports. Last year was down from 2017, and we're expecting a further decline in 2019 as compared to last year. So continuing downward pressure from China, even though we're getting a lot of pickup of additional purchases from other partners.
Do you think the past couple of years of uncertainty about trade should prompt like a larger conversation about American farm policy? Some argument that this heavy reliance on subsidy-supported global trade is not sustainable, particularly with the situation we're in now. We've hitched our wagons to the China market, and look what it's done to us. Has this been a wake-up call for any kind of larger conversation about this big trade policy we've gotten ourselves into?
Well, I think what we have to keep in mind is that U.S. agriculture is incredibly productive. It's one of the things we do best here in the United States. We have a large country, and we're able to grow a wide variety of foods and fiber. But our productivity is outpacing U.S. Population growth, our per capita consumption. And so the only way U.S. agriculture is going to be successful into the future is to export and find customers, that 95% of customers that live outside of the United States. I think that that's going to continue to be true. And I don't think anyone in agriculture thinks otherwise. Maybe what the Chinese situation has illuminated is that reliance on one customer it can be dangerous. It can be shaky as far as making sure that you have a fairly reliable customer base. I think when you look at one of the smaller portions of the trade aid package that doesn't get as much discussion, but is the Ag Trade Program, which is such a clever title, but it's basically more promotion dollars for U.S. export organizations to go out and promote their commodities. The last couple of days, I was at the U.S. Grains Council meeting, and they spent a lot of time talking about how they were planning to use the monies that they had received. They were planning on spending a lot more time, energy, and frankly, dollars promoting U.S. corn, soybeans, and barley in Africa, West and East Africa. They were planning on spending more money in India and other South Asia countries, other Southeast Asia countries. And it's not that they didn't know that those markets had potential in the past, but there's a limit to the amount of dollars and effort that you can put forward to promoting U.S. ag exports. I think this recent trade situation has reminded us that it's better to make sure that we're fertilizing multiple markets rather than relying on one.
Hear more with American Farm Bureau trade economist Veronica Nye during Sound Ideas later today at noon and 6 p.m. on WGLT. Before we let you go, the McLean County Fair is officially open for business. Today is free admission for seniors and veterans. And tonight, country artist Gabby Barrett performs at 8 o'clock. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.